Doug Batchelor has written this article in the February 2015 issue of Signs of the Times. It's entitled, What Heaven is Really Like. Your narrator is Calvin Follett. Some people think of heaven as a place where you'll strum harps as we sit on clouds. Doug Batchelor examines what the Bible says it will really be like. Your narrator is Calvin Follett. Have you heard about Biosphere 2? It's a state-of-the-art greenhouse built on a little over 3 acres in the Arizona desert. This huge, sealed, computer-controlled environment was planned to be a miniature version of the much larger Biosphere 1 we call Earth. Completed in 1991, it cost $150 million. Biosphere 2 had 5 ecosystem areas, ranging from rainforest to desert, and it was stocked with several thousand kinds of plants and animals. 8 scientists, called Biospherians, were supposed to learn how to live off this land, physically isolated from the outside world, but were allowed communication via phone and email. The designers envisioned humans creating a perfect self-sustaining environment. But the project met with unforeseen environmental and human complications requiring outside intervention. Oxygen levels dropped so low that emergency oxygen had to be pumped into the complex. And crop production was so poor that it had to be supplemented from outside at times. Some of the animal species died off, but one kind of ant thrived to the point that outside help was required to exterminate it. This proud vision of man making a utopia on Earth became a joke. Fortunately, God has a much better Biosphere 2 planned for your future and mine. Let's find out what He's told us about it. What about the new Earth? John the Revelator saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. He also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, God's dwelling place, from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. The name Jerusalem means city of peace. The Jerusalem on this earth is anything but a city of peace today. 3 major religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, claim it as a holy place, making it the most fought-over piece of real estate in the world. The walls of Jerusalem are riddled with bullet holes. But God's new Jerusalem will truly be a city of peace. One thing we know is that this city will have an absolutely perfect water supply. John said that his accompanying angel showed him a pure river of water of life. Revelation 22, verse 1. In today's world, we have to add chemicals to the water supply to kill the bacteria so people don't get sick. That won't be necessary in God's new Jerusalem. Revelation also says, on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22, verse 2. This verse doesn't mean that people will get sick and use leaves and trees as an herbal remedy. I propose that this means spiritual healing. When we all gather together as one family under the tree of life, our divisions will be healed. We will be a united people. Isaiah gives another description of God's new earth. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap as a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy, Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. Blind people will see, deaf people will hear, and crippled people will walk. John adds that there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away, Revelation 21, verse 4. In heaven, there won't be any need for doctors, hospitals, or funeral homes. So what will you and I do in the new earth that Jesus is preparing for us today? Isaiah gave us a glimpse into that too. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit, Isaiah 65, verse 21. Isaiah's readers would have found that to be good news. Back then, warring nations or marauding tribes could invade your country at any time and take over your houses you'd built and the orchard and farm you cultivated. Then someone else could live in the house you worked so hard to build, and eat the food you labored so long to grow. In that context, Israel's promise is meaningful. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. Isaiah 65:22. Even today, other people enjoy the products of our labor. Our houses get left to our children or grandchildren when we die. Someone else gets to live in our home that we worked so hard to build, but not in God's new world. If you build it, you live in it. If you grow it, you'll eat it. People have many misconceptions about heaven. Some people believe that when we die, they'll turn into little cherubs and sit in clouds and play harps all day. No wonder so few people want to go to heaven. They think hell will be much more interesting. They don't realize that in heaven, they will have real bodies and do real things. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body, Philippians 3:21. So what is Jesus' body like today? When he rose from the dead, he walked through a locked door where his disciples were gathered in the upper room. They were sure that he was a ghost, and he said to them, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself." He invited them in to touch him. And when he said, "A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have," then to emphasize that he was real, he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" Someone gave him a piece of fish, and he ate it in front of them. Luke 24:39-41. Jesus wanted them to know that he had a real physical body. So that's the kind of body Jesus has today. And the Bible says that in heaven, our bodies will be like his glorious body. Shortly before he left earth, Jesus told his disciples that he would be leaving them to prepare for them a place. Then he promised, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." John 14:3. I want to be with Jesus in that perfect biosphere, where there's no sickness or death, where there's no pollution, and where terrorists can never frighten me. Do you? If your answer is yes, then there's a key question you need to ask yourself. What does it take to get there? It's actually very simple. Accept Jesus as your Savior from sin. Tell him you want to serve him as a citizen of this new world. He'll see that you get there. I've done that. I invite you to do it too. Let's make an appointment to meet there.